It's one of my favorites, the story of Solomon. And when we look at Solomon, okay, Solomon was Israel's third king. Solomon was the last king of the United Nation of Israel before it broke off into Israel and Judah. And Solomon is the son of David, and Solomon is known pretty much for one thing: wisdom, right? Solomon's known for his wisdom. He's known for writing three books of the Bible that are packed with wisdom: Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. A lot of these verses are what we share when we're sharing wisdom, when we're trying to encourage somebody. And when Solomon was made king, what you may not realize or remember is that he was young, okay? And a lot of these kings I know were young, but I think we forget how young Solomon was because we hear so much about his wisdom. Another thing about Solomon is he was not David's oldest son. In fact, he was the youngest son, which was weird because the oldest son usually would become king. And so David had prepared him. David had given Solomon some instruction about when you become king. He kind of goes into this dissertation about how he needs to follow the Lord. Don't forget, Solomon, as you become king, follow the commands of the Lord. He gives him this instruction. And so today we're going to pick up in 1 Kings chapter 3 with Solomon. And it says that Solomon loved the Lord. Say, loved the Lord. Okay, this is a key this morning. He loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon and to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Solomon loved the Lord. This is important, church, because it was Solomon's love for the Lord that is the foundation of every single bit of the rest of the story of Solomon. He loved the Lord. His father instructed him to follow the Lord, but you know, somebody instructing you to follow the Lord just isn't good enough, right? You have to cultivate that love for the Lord for yourself, amen? And maybe you guys were instructed to follow the Lord by somebody, right? Somebody taught you what the word says. Somebody taught you the Ten Commandments. Somebody tried to scare you into heaven, and they told you, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, but how many of you tried that for a season and it just didn't work for you? Until you cultivated a love for the Lord, right? And then it took root. Then it was like, oh, now that stuff makes sense to me. Now that stuff seems like it's doable to me. And so Solomon loved the Lord. He follows his father's instructions, but we see that he sacrificed to the Lord at the high places. And if you guys remember any of the rest of the lessons from Kings, these high places were bad places. These were places that kings were constantly tearing down, and then Israel was building back up, and the kings would tear them down, and Israel would build them back up. And so why do we see Solomon sacrificing to the Lord on these high places? You got to remember, at that time there was no temple for the Lord. Solomon's the one who rebuilt that temple, and so he's here, he finds himself at these high places. Now the high places were often for Baal worship, and the Israelites were told in the book of Leviticus that they were not to sacrifice on these high places, except there were a few times where the Lord made special exceptions for them to offer to him on these high places. And so I believe this is one of these times, but Solomon goes to this place, and he doesn't just go to a high place, but he says, I'm going to go to the great high place. What's the greatest? What's the highest? What's the most amazing place? And so he goes to this one known as the great high place. It had this really big bronze altar. It was the fanciest one, and he goes there, and he offers 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. Now, I don't really know. It doesn't give us a lot of detail if this was back to back to back. I mean, you imagine 1,000 burnt offerings would probably take a while, you know, to kill the animal and to go through the ritual, the things they'd have to do with draining the blood and separating the parts and all this stuff, and then to burn it and wait for it to be burned. And and then start again and again and again. But he burnt 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. He did this at the great high place because I believe Solomon's heart, the fact that he loved the Lord, I believe what he's showing here is he was trying to give God his best, right? The best that he knew how. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to go to the most special altar I know, and I'm going to provide the best offering I know how to provide. And when we think of Solomon, we think of this great king of wisdom. But have you ever thought about his start? Have you ever thought about where he came from? Sometimes we look at people in life and we just see where they're at today and we don't realize where they've come from. Where was their start? How did they get to this point? And it's part of the most amazing thing about getting to know a person is getting to know their story, right? I mean, finding out like where they've come from, you're like, oh wow, you haven't always been this amazing of a person, right? I mean, you haven't always been this godly of a person. You haven't always been this kind of a person. You haven't always been this friendly. Like, whatever, you hear their story, and sometimes you're amazed at their start. But when I look at Solomon's start, I think, man, he was not really wise when he started as king. Right? It wasn't just this God-infused wisdom that he was born with, and it was like, well, of course we'll make Solomon the king. Like, there's nobody wiser. No, he started his reign with just a heart for God. Like, he started, that's it. That's the basis. He's like, I love God. Now, where do I go from here? I don't really know where to go from here, so I'll just go and I'll worship God in the best place that I can find. There's not really a dedicated place for that, so where's the most amazing place I can go and I can worship God? And he goes there and he worships God. And he seeks the Lord, right? 1,000, you don't do 1,000 burnt offerings if you're not really seeking for the Lord, right? If you're not really looking for him to show up, if you're not really looking for his presence to come. And Solomon would have known this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. It told him, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. And so here we find Solomon with the knowledge of this word from the Lord, and he's seeking the Lord at the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings, pouring his heart out to God. Jesus would later tell us in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so we see Solomon as he starts his reign, he could have been worried about, how am I going to do this or that, or who am I going to have serve me in these different capacities? And that's not where his heart was. First of all, he started with, I love God now. I want to worship him and I want his presence. I need his direction. Where am I going to go from here? Do you know that for him to love God and worship God and burn 1,000 burnt offerings, do you know that it had to cost him some time? Right, I don't think this was something that he just did in an afternoon. Like, you know, he didn't do a bonfire sacrifice. He didn't lay 1,000 animals out and light it up and it's like, I'll come back later and see if God showed up. I'm telling you, he invested some time in his pursuit of God. Why? Because he loved him. And he said, if I love him, it's worth my time to pursue him. Men, if you love your wives, pursue them. It ain't because you got a ring on the finger like the pursuit is over. Like, continue to pursue them because you love them. We learn this lesson here from Solomon. He loved the Lord. He continued to pursue him. Do you know it also would have cost him probably a lot of possessions or finances, right? These offerings weren't free. People weren't bringing them to him. These would have been his own offerings. He prioritized seeking the Lord because he loved the Lord. 1 Kings 3 verse 5 shows the Lord's response. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Hallelujah. Who doesn't want that question from the Lord? Who would be thrilled to go to bed tonight and God come and visit you in a dream and be like, what do you want? Name it. I mean, I would. Now, I'd have a little bit of anxiety about what do I say? Like, how many shots do I get? But he's, what do you want? That's what he asks. He's like, ask, what shall I give you? That's the same as him saying, what do you want? If you ask me for it, I will give it to you. And this is where he comes to Solomon in this time of worship and pursuit. How many of you already got a list going in your head? Right? Of like, could ask for this. No, maybe not that. That's not good enough. I'd ask for this. I'd be stupid and I'd ask for like a Reese's or something because I was really hungry. And he'd probably be like, are you serious? Like, that's it? Like, well, I was hungry when you asked. But you could think about the things that you would ask for. And, you know, I think that there's probably a couple of you in here that are like me, and I've always thought about, like, well, if you were granted one wish, what would you ask for? Like, unlimited wishes. How many of you guys are like me? Because you know you'd mess the first one up. So if you only got one, you're like, I'm going to ask for unlimited wishes. That also means you're kind of the loophole kind of guy, like I am. I'm always kind of looking for how to get an extra advantage on something. But when you think about these things, what would you ask for if the Lord could give you whatever you want? It might be dependent on what's weighing the most on your mind. Maybe your car is breaking down. You might be like, Lord, I would just take a new car. That would be great. Maybe you hate your job. You might be like, Lord, I'd just take a new job, preferably one that pays me a ridiculous amount of money, but that I love, right? Because that's everybody's dream job, is to have a job that you love that also pays you a lot of money. Most people don't want a job that they love that doesn't pay them very much. So you may be thinking about a job. You might be thinking about a home. You might be just one of those people that goes straight for the money, right? Just, Lord, just give me a gazillion, bazillion, what are you trying to make up names, dollars, right? So I don't run out. Some of you are going that way. And you think about these things, you could probably think of a million more things, but what these things have in common, the things that often come to our mind when we think about you could have everything you want, is it's usually things that would lead to us being happier for a moment, for a season, right? It's just something that would just satisfy us for a little bit. And you know, if you guys don't know this, most people that win the lottery end up broke. And a lot of those people that win the lottery, I don't know the exact percentage, but there's a very high percentage of them that end up depressed and even kill themselves. So we see these things as like a temporary fix. Like, if I only had $1 million, I could do all these things and I would be so happy. And it's like, we go straight to these things that would bring us happiness in lives. The thing is, there are a lot of me-focused things. They're what could meet my needs, what could make me love my own life just a little bit more. Matthew 6:24, Jesus told us that no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon, which is the god of money. And so he's saying you can't have your heart directed toward God and possessions. You have to pick one. And so we see with Solomon, the king, young king, starts off with saying, my heart is toward God. Like, that's what I have chosen. No matter what my father has taught me, no matter what lays before me, I choose God because my heart is to him. I love the Lord. And this is what it comes down to for us, is what is it that you love? What is number one in your heart, in your life? Because Solomon loved God. And so when God posed this question to him and he said, what do you want? He already knew that what was number one in Solomon's heart was God himself. Now, some of you wouldn't ask for material things. Some of you would be like, you know what, I got everything I need, right? There's sometimes you find yourself in a place in life where it's like, I've got enough money, I've got a good enough car, I've got a good enough job, right? You can look at all those things and like, what I've got is all right. I could be all right with that. I'd rather choose something like world peace. Do you know that world peace is only going to happen when Jesus returns? So, I mean, but go for that. I mean, if you get one shot and you're going to pick one thing, if it's going to be Jesus returns, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader, right? I'm going to be like, hallelujah, me too. This is great. But then you might be thinking about people you know that aren't saved yet. And so you can go that route, and it's like, man, I want everybody that I love to be saved. That's a pretty good thing, but what about the people you don't love? See, I mean, everything we pick, there's something else that could be like, well, but there's kind of a negative aspect to it as well. These things seem like they'd be good to ask for, but God didn't actually ask Solomon, what do you want me to do for the world? He said, what do you want for you? Solomon, what do you want? What's in your heart? Not what do you think. How many of you guys, when somebody asks you a question, you try to tell them what you think they want, right? You try to tell somebody what you think they want to hear. Solomon didn't do that. He's like, Lord, I love you. And the Lord says, well, Solomon, what do you want? And he's like, okay, I'll tell you what's on my heart, God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6, Solomon says to the Lord, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be counted or numbered. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? When we look at Solomon and he asks for, basically we boil it down to one word, he asked for wisdom, right? He asked for an understanding heart and discernment between good and evil. He's like, I want to understand, I want to have a compassionate heart, I want to have this heart of understanding, but I want to know good and evil. I don't want to be tricked, I want to do well. He wants to serve the Lord well. And so Solomon, if you didn't know it, he was a child. He said that, I'm a child. He was about 12 years old. He was a child when he loved God. He was a child when he sacrificed 1,000 times on the altar to the Lord. He was a child when he was seeking the Lord and worshiping him with all that he had. And he was a child when God said, ask, what shall I give you? And he was a child when he asked for wisdom. Solomon knew all the things he could receive from the Lord, but he knew there's nothing greater than wisdom. He's like, of all the things I can get, there's nothing greater than wisdom, but there's a catch to this, church. What we have to remember is that when he asked for wisdom, he wasn't asking for what the world calls wisdom, right? He wasn't asking for worldly wisdom. He wanted wisdom from above. What he wanted was God's heart. He's like, you know what, Lord? I want to lead these people, your people, right? He goes on to tell them about these people that are yours and how great they are and how am I supposed to do this. What he's asking for is, Lord, I want your heart for your people. I want you to show me, God, show me how to lead your people. Give me an understanding heart that I know what to do. Give me the discernment between good and evil that when I'm helping and judging that I can lead them the way of righteousness. I mean, do you guys see how important this is, what Solomon asks of the Lord? I got to imagine this 12-year-old Solomon who loved God probably sat on the temple, sat on the chair, on the throne, and as he sat there, he probably looked out in front of him, and I bet he was intimidated. What do you guys think? I bet he was intimidated. I mean, you put a kid on a chair like that, and for a minute he's kind of like, oh, this is really cool, right? Probably like wants a picture taken. He's going to put it on Facebook or whatever he's using. But then at some point, the reality is going to set in of, oh, this is my chair now. These people are my responsibility now. What the Lord has tasked me with, this is big. This is huge. This is a really big deal. And I bet that he had to look around and at some point he thought, oh man, I can't do this. I can't do this. How many of you guys have looked around at your life sometimes and thought, I can't do this? Are you kidding me? Like, why? That's where we go. Why? Lord, what are you sure you know what you're doing? But you know, he had the wisdom of his father David, right? He had been raised in this place, and he had the wisdom of the king's court, right? The people who served his father David were still on hand, and he had this worldly wisdom all around him. He had people he could ask what he should do in different situations, people that could advise him, people who have been there and done that. They were experienced, but he knew that it wouldn't be enough to live the life that God had planned for him. He thought, you know what? I need something more. I need God's heart. I need God's wisdom from heaven to lead his people. Who here looks at their life and thinks, again, I can't do this on my own. I need something more. I do it all the time. I need something more. Even in simple everyday interactions with people, there's times where I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I need wisdom from above. I need your spirit to speak to me, to teach me. James chapter 1, verse 5, he tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. James plays a little trick on us right here. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Hey, James, we all lack wisdom, bud. So do you, right? I mean, he poses this like it's a, well, if you lack wisdom, you can ask God. But I mean, really, when it comes down to it, we all lack wisdom, so are we asking God? What does that mean? Are we praying? Are we saying, Lord, I need you. I need your guidance. I need your help. I need your spirit. I need you to lead me. How many times does Jesus tell us to pray? How many times does he tell us to ask? When he tells us to ask, who are we asking? The Father. What is that? It's prayer. He says prayer has got to be an important part of your walk because you got to be dependent on the Lord. Paul tells us to pray continually. And then in another place, he tells us to pray in everything. He tells us to ask God. Solomon asked God for wisdom to lead his people. And I love what the Lord says back to him. It says in chapter 3, verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. Now, wouldn't you like to wake up from that dream where God asks you whatever it is that you want, just name it. Wouldn't you like to wake up from that dream and the Lord is pleased with what you asked? Not just that you got what you asked, but that the Lord was pleased with it. He's like, man, Todd, I am proud of you, man. Good one. That was a good thing to ask for. This is where Solomon finds himself, and the Lord says to him, because you have asked for this thing, and you have not asked for a long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there may not be anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And, say and. And I've also given you what you have not asked for. Hallelujah. I mean, this could be bad, I suppose, but in this case, it's good. I've given you also what you've not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there may not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, now hear this. Hear this contingency here. Hear this condition. So that if you walk in my ways and you keep my statutes and my commands as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So not only am I going to give you more than you asked for, I'm going to give you riches and I'm going to give you honor. If you continue to follow me, I will lengthen your days. Now these are lengthening of the days of the good life, guys. These aren't lengthening of a bad life, okay? He says, if you continue to follow me, I'll lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered up peace offerings, and made a feast for all of his servants. So God saw the heart of Solomon. He saw that Solomon didn't ask for selfish things. He wasn't asking for things for himself to better his life, but he wanted things to be able to better serve God and his people. And because of this, he gave him much more. Can I tell you this morning that God will always give you what you need to be able to serve him better? That's a request that he's never going to deny. If you wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, and today I don't even know what I need, but whatever you've got laid before me, will you give me the wisdom to be able to handle every situation? Will you give me the boldness, the empowering of your spirit to be able to go through this day and do what you've tasked for me to do? Do you know that he will be faithful to do that? Do you know that he'd be faithful? Now, how many of you guys are more like me and you're kind of more reactionary where you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Lord, help me. Bail me out right now. If we would just ask, like Solomon did, Lord, would you give me understanding? Would you give me discernment? Would you just lead me, right? That's all he's asking is, Lord, would you just lead me? As I go throughout my life, as I'm leading your people, would you just lead me? And he says, yeah, I'll lead you. Not only will I lead you, but I'll bless you on top of that. And not only will I do that, but if you continue to follow me as I'm leading you and as I'm blessing you, sounds like a pretty good reason to follow him. But if you do that, then I'll also lengthen the days of your life. Hallelujah. This is a great deal that he's got going on. So God sees his heart and he gives him what he asked for. He gives him blessing on top of it. Now, I want to tell you that there's a lie going around in the church of God. Not the church of God like down the street. I love the church of God down the street. I love Pastor Jeremy. There's a lie going on in the church, in Christianity. And people say that God doesn't give you more than you can handle, right? People say that all the time. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you didn't have more than you could handle, why would you need God? I would guarantee that God has given you more than what you can handle. How many of you guys have raised a kid? Some of you are in the middle of raising kids and you're like, oh boy, I can't handle these kids anymore, right? God gives you more than you can handle. That's why you got to rely on him. That's why you got to trust in him. God will, in fact, give you more than he can handle, because that's not something that Jesus ever said. But he did say that he'd send the Helper. He did say he'd send the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Amen? I mean, that's a great start. You're going to lead me into all truth. Also said that he'd comfort you, right, in times whenever, you know, you're going through rough stuff. He also said that he would direct you. It's all good stuff, right? He also said that he would convict you of sin. Hallelujah. That's good. We need that. We need that realization of when we're falling short and we need to turn back to the Lord. We need Jesus. Amen? Do you believe that God has a purpose for us? Do you believe that God has a purpose for you as an individual? Do you believe that God has a purpose for every single person that he created? Now, people may not be walking in those purposes, but there's a purpose. Everybody, that's the age-old question, especially for like a junior high age kid, is like, I'm trying to figure myself out. I'm trying to figure out life. Some of you may be 80 years old, still trying to figure out what you're here for. I want to tell you that God has a purpose for every life that he creates. I believe it, and I also believe that you can't fulfill that purpose without him. You can't fulfill the purpose that God has for your life without God himself in the midst of your life. It is too much for you. I believe that. I also am absolutely convinced that without God, that I am no good. I'm no good. There's no good within me without Jesus, and I can't do anything of worth without the Spirit's help in my life. I'm absolutely convinced that I don't have anything of value to even say to you, to even share with you this morning, unless my heart is connected to the Lord's. Right? That's why he tells us that we've got to be connected to the vine. Right? Because that's where the life comes from. That's where the blood flows from. Right? We've got to be connected to the vine. And so this morning, as we look at this life of Solomon and we look at his heart toward God, just a few quick things. That first of all, we've got to find ourselves in the same place that Solomon was at, where we've got to come to the Lord as a child. Maybe you guys heard all that awesome noise in here earlier with all those kids. Everybody except the parents said amen. I've been there. When you're the parent, it's not such a great thing. I've been there. We have grace and peace upon you this morning, parents. We are thankful that you're here, and we're thankful that you bring your kids, honestly. In all seriousness, thank you so much for having your kids in the house of the Lord, because it's going to make a difference in their life. It's going to make a difference in your life, too. Solomon comes as a child. We've got to come before the Lord as a child, as though we're so dependent on our Father to get anything done. You remember that point in your life where you were a kid and you couldn't get anything unless your mom or dad gave it to you? I remember my sister used to ask my mom to just write a check. Right? I want it. No, I don't have any money. Yeah, you do. Write a check. Like, no, but there's got to be something on the other end of that. But as a kid, you're so oblivious to it that you're just like, I know that you have a checkbook. And I know that when you write checks, you are given goods, and I want that. And you have checks, right? As a kid, you're oblivious to it. You just know that when I ask my parents, they love me, and they'll give it to me. How often do we, as adults, do we come before the Lord as a child? Like, Father, right? I'm asking you because I can't get it on my own. See, that's the thing, is there's so much in life that we can get on our own. And it's so much of those things that I talked about earlier that they make us happy for a season, that there's a lot of times we can ride high on those things for a long time. But what about all the things that you can't get on your own? What about peace? What about joy? I'm talking unending joy. I'm talking joy in the midst of suffering. See, we can go to our Father and we can say, Lord, you're the only one that can give this to me. It doesn't matter how much money I have. It doesn't matter who I know. Except for you. You're the only one that can provide these things for me. So why don't we come to him like a dependent child and say, Lord, I need you. Right? I need you to help me today. You ever find yourself in a place where it seems like no matter what you are doing in life, it's like the enemy keeps trying to ruin your plans? Right? Every corner you turn, you're like, I'm going to go this way. And it's like, seems like the enemy does something to stir you up, to stir up somebody else, cause some kind of trouble, messes up your plan, you're going to pivot, you're going to go the other way, and like, he's over there too, and it's like, why? Why? Can I tell you why? Does anybody want to know why this morning? Because they're your plans. That's why, because they're your plans. See, it starts here with us coming to the Lord with a childlike dependency and being honest and saying, Jesus, I need you. I need your plan for my life. It's the only way I can do it. It's the only way that I can live a fulfilling life, right? A life that's just, it's more, right? Because he came to give us life and life more abundantly. If you want that abundant life, that only comes through Christ. It starts with this love for the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. That's how his story started when he's 12. Has your story started yet? Listen, if you haven't cultivated a love for the Lord in your life, I want to tell you that there's going to be a point where your story is going to start. You choose to love the Lord. You say, you know what? I'm laying it all down. I'm surrendering everything. I love you, Lord. I'm giving everything to you. It's at that point where your life really starts. That's when the story really begins. Have you been born again, given your life to the Lord, and changed? Today's your day, if that's not been your case yet. If you love the Lord, the second thing you got to do, that we saw Solomon do, you come like a child because you love the Lord, and then you have to choose to seek his presence. Solomon, young child, loved the Lord 1,000 sacrifices. Again, I wish that, like, you guys ever get on a website and they don't have a live chat, but you can ask them a question and then they'll respond to you when they have time? I wish that sometimes you could do that with the Lord. You'd be like, I have this question about the Bible. Like, how long did it take for Solomon to do these 1,000 sacrifices? And you could just, like, submit that to the Lord. And he'll get back to you sometime when he's available. Just like it's really something that I probably don't need to know, but I can't stop thinking about it. Like, all week I have thought about that. How long did it take him? Like, how much time did he have invested? But this is where I came to with that question. How many of you guys have tried to set some goals for yourself? Like, I'm going to pray for an hour every single day. And then you failed. You're like, well, Cheryl prays for 2 hours. I'm going to pray for 2 hours and 15 minutes every single day. You fail. I'm going to read my Bible every single morning. I'm going to read 3 chapters, and then you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, because we're always trying to measure things up. And I'm going to tell you that when Solomon did 1,000 offerings, there's a secret to this. Solomon was not counting. Solomon wasn't counting. Right? It's recorded in the scripture for us to know, but Solomon didn't have a goal of 1,000 offerings. Solomon was just seeking God. Solomon had committed himself to, I'm going to seek his presence whatever it takes, however long it takes. And so it doesn't matter if you're spending 30 minutes praying and reading your Bible in the morning, or if you're spending 10 minutes, or if you're spending your entire day. Listen, it's not about the numbers, church. It's not about the numbers. It's about his presence. Right, it's about seeking time with him, but it does come down to our priorities and saying, how bad do we want it? How bad do you want it? Because I'll tell you what, Solomon clearly wanted it pretty bad. He clearly wanted God's presence pretty bad. He was seeking the Lord when he asked Solomon, what do you want? And the third thing is being faithful with what God has given you. Too often our wish is for change. Our wish is for something different. When I think a lot of us are kind of stuck in the spot that we're in because God just wants us to serve faithfully right where he's got us. Right where he's got us. We're always looking for what's next, right? If you hate your job, you spend more time looking for a new job than you are seeking the Lord. And the Lord might be saying, dude, if you would just talk to that guy over there and tell him who I am, you could have a new job, right? Maybe there's something that he wants you to do, but we don't take the time to seek him first. We instead try to take the time to seek, what can I do to bring change to my life? We've got to learn to be faithful and effective where we're at. And then if God has something more or something different for us, he'll bring it along. But we got to first be faithful and effective where we're at. Solomon gave up his desires for God's desire. You know how I know that? Because he could have asked for all kinds of things. He could have asked for anything, but he asked God for wisdom to be able to serve him better. Wisdom to be able to serve him better. Husbands, do you ask for wisdom to be better husbands? Lord, show me how to treat my wife better. Show me how to love her like you love the church. Wives, do you ask the Lord, How can I be a better wife? Lord, will you show me how? Do you ask how to be a better parent, a better sister, or a brother, or a friend, or an employee, or a servant of the Lord? Just, Lord, how do I serve you better? Some of you guys hear us share needs that are in the church, and you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that stuff. You're looking for the perfect thing to do, but sometimes it's just, Lord, how can I serve you right here, right where I'm at, with the limited opportunities that I have? It takes faithfulness, right? God, again, rewards faithfulness. To whom much is given, much is required, okay? So you got to start somewhere, but the more you're given, the more is going to be required. It's a building block, and so sometimes you start small. But do you know that our God is faithful? Do you know that he's faithful? Do you know that he's also a God of blessing, right? He gave Solomon more than what he asked for. My favorite verse, my second favorite verse probably in the Bible, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to his power that works within us. See, he can do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think, and Solomon simply asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and riches and honor and long life. Man, is that a God of more or what? See, a lot of us would have jumped the gun and we would have went straight to the riches. But we wouldn't have the wisdom and would be bankrupt or dead and broke, right? He asked for the wisdom. He asked for the most important thing. God, how can I know your heart? And God said, I'll give you that and then I'll throw in some bonus, right? Here's the other things that most other people would have asked for. I'll give those to you. Why? Because you first of all are rooted in love and you ask for wisdom. And so if you have wisdom, these other things can be a great tool, a great benefit to you. And so I'll give you all those things. And so if you love Jesus, if you seek him, and if you're faithful with what he gives you, I'm going to tell you, you just might find yourself overflowing with blessing. You just might. You guys ever wonder that? You're like, well, I love the Lord. I don't see my life overflowing with blessing. You guys ever thought that? I've thought that before. This is what it comes back to. I'm seeking the blessing instead of seeking the Lord. You get stuck in that spot where you're so busy thinking about, well, why do they have a new car and I don't? Right? Well, why are they getting a raise and I'm not? And you start to think about the other, and this is what I want, Lord. I want you to do this for me. And the thing is, with Solomon, it all came back to the fact that he loved God and he sought God first above all things. His heart was toward God. And so, church, I don't know what you're facing this morning, but what I do know is that I know that God's word is full of promises. I know that it's full of promises. And I know that for us, if we come, if you're a child of God, if you have been born again and you come to the Father as a child, I know that his word is full of promises, and I know that his word tells us that his promises are yes and amen. You know what that means? That means as a child, they're yours. That means that pie that's in the fridge, like, yeah, you can have a piece of it. Right? Like, it's yours. You're a child of God. You don't have to ask for it. You just open the fridge and you get some of it. I want to tell you some of the promises that he promises us in the Word. Guys, we have the promise of peace. Do you guys know that? You know we have the promise of peace? Here's why I'm sharing this, and why I'm sharing it at the end and in the way that I am, is there's too many times where we come before the Lord like beggars instead of children. You know that? We come like beggars instead of children. We've talked about this many, many times on Wednesday night at Bible study. Like, why do we come to the Lord and we're like, please, 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 please. Listen, you don't have to come to the Lord like that. You come as a child. You don't come as a beggar. You come as an heir. You come as someone who has an inheritance already, and part of that inheritance is peace. Part of that inheritance is joy. Part of that inheritance is the love of God in your life. Part of that inheritance is His goodness, His faithfulness toward you, His forgiveness, salvation, justification, glorification, that whole process. We have hope in Him. The promise of healing. And the promise of heaven. You guys know that? Those are promises to His children. That means they belong to you. There ain't no reason to beg for something that's already been given. Amen? You don't have to beg. Let's stand in this place as we get ready to close. If you guys would bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to give this opportunity. If there's anybody in this place that you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior yet, I want to give you that opportunity that when we open the altars here in a moment, I want you to come forward. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Right? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to no longer wait, but to receive the goodness of God that He says that He loves you. When His arms were spread out on the cross, He said, I'm doing this for you because I love you, because I want you, because I came to give life and life more abundantly. And today it can be yours. If you've received Him already, man, right now I just want to rebuke that beggar mindset that we could come to the Lord as His children. And so, Father, I just pray over each and every person here right now. Lord, help us to know Your heart, to know what it's like to be a child of God. Lord, I'm talking about taking us to a place in Your love that's beyond just salvation, to knowing You as Abba Father, knowing You as a good, good Father who desires to give good gifts to His kids, that we come before You and we don't beg for them because You've already said that they're ours, but we just say, Father, I need that now. I need that, which You've already promised me. I receive it today. Lord, let us come with that heart of a child, that innocence, but also that dependence that we know that You're the only source of what we need. Lord, give us a heart that's devoted to You. Work in us right now to have a heart that loves You most, that loves You first. Father, we ask for wisdom. Lord, I know that there's people in this place that we're facing things in life. We're facing a road that's difficult. We look in front of us, it's like we're sitting on that throne like Solomon, and we look at what You have put before us, and we think, how am I supposed to do this? Lord, give us a heart to ask for wisdom. Lord, Your word tells us that if we ask, that You'll give it to us, and so we pray that wisdom be imparted today in the lives of the hearers in this place. Father, we ask for that heart of Solomon. Lord, that his desire was to know Your heart so he could lead people better. Lord, You have called us. Lord, You've given us a job. We heard this from Mitchell and Megan last week, that You've called us and given us a job of being carriers of the gospel. You told us to go and make disciples. You told us to go and share the good news. You told us that our feet would be the carriers of the good news. And so, Lord, we pray that You would give us the wisdom to be able to lead others to You. Help us to be the seed sowers and the waterers. Lord, show us each and every day, each and every moment, how it is that we're to serve You in serving people. We love You. Lord, we want more of You. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that You'd begin to stir our hearts right now as we open the altar, that You'd speak to us, Lord, in the way that only You can do. Lord, You see right into our heart. You know the heart of every man and woman and child in this place. And as You know our needs, Holy Spirit, we just pray that You'd bring conviction upon us. Lord, you bring correction where it's needed. Whatever it is to draw us close to you, that we could be your people, we thank you for being our God, and we praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.